All right, good morning, everybody, and thank you for chiming in. This is Confessions of a Serial Wife. So, this is a topic that I've spoke on previously, and I'm just going to elaborate on because it's something that honestly has been kind of on my mind recently. I'm not exactly sure if it's from the holidays or kind of what's going on, but... So if you recall, when I was, 19 maybe, somewhere in there, 18, 19, something like that, I moved down to the valley and lived in a small apartment with my parents. It was a two-bedroom apartment, and my parents didn't live together, didn't sleep together. And so Mom had one bedroom, and Dad had the other bedroom, and he shared that bedroom with Teddy, if you remember the whole story of Teddy. So they had two twin beds in there. It might have been a twin bed and a cot. And then there was a living room, and it kind of looped around to an open dining room that was right by kind of a kitchen bar and then a small kitchen. And I was young, and so I lived in the dining room, and they had bought me kind of a partition thing. I think it was about 4 feet tall. If I stood up, you could see me. But it blocked me from the front door and from the living room, although you could see my legs if I was laying down, and I just had a cot, and so I just slept there. I don't even remember where my stuff was kept. I just, I don't recall having a dresser or anything, but I must have. And I just slept on this cot. That's how I lived. It was at this point that Dad was really sick with Alzheimer's. So he, just kind of survived, I guess, is a good way to explain it. It was a really stressful time on everybody because they had moved down here to be closer to the doctor's appointments because Dad was having to go quite a bit, and he was on all kinds of medication. And I remember one day it was particularly bad, and he was just incoherent and, you know, not making sense. And so Mom got him in the car to take him to the hospital because it was obvious something was happening. And he started eating things out of the air, like he was imagining that there was something there. And it was just really bizarre behavior, and he was just out of it. It was like a drug-induced stupor is what it seemed like. So we took him to the hospital, and they wanted to evaluate him overnight, I think is how it worked. And Dad had to sign himself in. And the doctor, says, sign your name here. And Dad just held the pen and looked at the paper. And there was just kind of a blank look on his face. He was just out of it. It was like he wasn't comprehending or didn't know what to sign or couldn't think of his name. And so I actually had to repeat his name back to him and say, sign. And then I said his first name and sign and said his last name as I'm pointing to the paper on where to sign, actually what to do. Then he was able to do that. So it was just a really weird time. There were several times like that, that things like this occurred. And the doctors, it was really strange because, so to recap, Dad had gotten in trouble with the law when I was a young teenager and been arrested, actually. And to get out of it, he made up some concocted story. So they sent him away, and he lied on all of his tests and everything, is what he said, so that he could get Mom out of trouble and accept all the blame and hopefully not get in too much trouble. So they diagnosed him with Alzheimer's disease, is what they diagnosed him with. But the problem behind that is they do brain scans and stuff to diagnose you with Alzheimer's disease. So I'm not exactly sure what happened with that. I think I was too young to really understand. So when we're taking him now, you know, I'm 18, 19 years old, so it's, you know, several years later. He's been on medication this whole time, and it's wreaked havoc on his system and his brain and his body, and, you know, he just looked totally different. The doctors, when we're telling them the story, because then we're at a different hospital and I'm right there with Mom, the doctor said that he didn't have Alzheimer's, that you, that the brain scans didn't show Alzheimer's. And later on through life, you know, through the next some odd years, other doctors also said that he didn't have Alzheimer's. So I'm not exactly sure of the story. I don't know if, you know, he told me a skewed portion and Mom told me a skewed portion, and, you know, I don't even know. But so this particular time, Dad had to stay there, and home life was weird. It was stressful. Mom was continuing to shop and stock that little apartment, and I had my dog there. He was a good dog. He was the one that was born to me. And so, I mean, I had him from birth. I had him from the moment he came out. He was the biggest puppy, and I kept him. And I just loved that dog. But of course, I was a teenager and preoccupied with everything, you know. And at that time, it wasn't like you toted your dogs everywhere like people nowadays. It was different then, you know. There wasn't a such thing as dog restaurants and stuff. So your dog stayed home most of the time and just waited for you, I guess, you know. Except for Mom and Dad were at home and Teddy was there. And so it was different. They were kind of babysitting my dog all the time. So Mom, I think as her outlet to this stress, you know, she was shopping and stocking stuff in this little apartment, and she had boxes of stuff like under the table and boxes of stuff starting to pile up. That hoarding thing was starting to show itself while we lived in that apartment, and so it was weird. I ended up moving out and, you know, living with my friends, which is where I started doing acid and that type of stuff, and then I got a job and started doing crank, and then I moved back into the apartment with them for a while. So I was in and out. Well, when I came home one time, my dog apparently had fleas, and Mom and Dad said they treated him, you know, but he still had fleas. And the fleas were in the apartment then at that point. And they were so bad that I remember getting ready for a date one time and putting on nylons and seeing something stuck in my nylon and realizing, oh my God, it's a flea between my leg and the nylon. And another time I remember going for a hair permanent. Yes, perms were big back then. And I remember having my hair sectioned off and feeling something crawling on my head. And having her look at my head and being mortified, thinking, oh my God, she's going to tell me I have fleas or something. And I wasn't dirty. I was clean. Like, I wasn't in the house all the time. I was gone most of the time. I was only there to sleep and, you know, when I wasn't with a boyfriend or whatever. And it was really weird. So there was all of these stressors happening, and I was too young to realize. And when I came home one time, my dog was gone. And Mom said that she couldn't get rid of the fleas, so she had him put to sleep. And it was devastating for me, and I don't think I went back after that. She was using venting her stress in ways that she knew how. So she was horrible to Teddy. I remember them getting in fist fights, and I mean, I'm surprised she didn't kill him a couple of times. And it was so stressful that he was hitting himself more, and it shouldn't have been allowed. This shouldn't have even been, you know, a thing. But that's what happens when you are, you know, in those types of circumstances, I guess. I don't know. She was the type of person she is. And with no outlet for stress and me not being there to belittle me and yell at me, those were the two people she took it out on. So I have my theories on Dad. You know, maybe she was giving him more medication than he needed. You know, if you recall up in that little mountain town with him sleeping all the time, I mean, that's a possibility. You know, it just did terrible things to his body, the medication. So, anyway, on that note, I think I'm just going to stop right there and throw in one of those quick ads. And then I'll be right back. So bear with me. I'll be right back. All right, so we're back. So it was also at this time that I had my first, I call it my first real job. I was waitressing / bartending at that little place. I had a lot of first experiences there. I also met that guy that rode the horse to the apartment, if you recall that story, and said he was going to kill himself and gave me chlamydia. That was awesome. It was kind of a key role in my life because, you know, at some point you realize that you just have to get away from that, and I think that's kind of when all that was happening. You know, it was so stressful of times that I didn't want to come home. I tried to distance myself from the fact that Dad was mentally failing and Mom was who she was. It was also during this time that I did. She had some items in a box. And me, I was a young teenager. I was, you know, 18, 19. And I did take some items out of a box. I think there was two little statue things. And I don't even remember what they were now, just two little things. And I hawked them. It was for drug money, basically, is what it was. It's nothing that I'm proud of, and I'm not sure I disclosed that previously, but it's something that I did. It was like my life was so blue, depressing, that you just, how do you escape that? How do you become something that's not equivalent to that? And I guess that was kind of my defining moment, is when I took those things and, you know, and then you go and do whatever with the money. And then you continue that lifestyle. I don't think you do that without really looking at yourself. And I'm not sure what caused me to veer away from that and to think that I'm better than that. I'm not sure Mom ever knew about that, because at that point she just had all this crap laying around, you know. And it wasn't like these were, you know, hundreds of dollars. I mean, they were just little things she picked up at a thrift store somewhere. But, you know, were probably worth $20 a piece or whatever. So, I don't know. Maybe this is more of a coming of age episode, because it seems like this was the moment in time that I was really self-defining. I was really figuring out who I was. And although I continued to make bad choices, I made good ones too. I told you that there was a guy at that bar that came in, and he was a fairly rich guy. He came and took me out to dinner. It was my first date. That was the date where Mom said, wait until he sees your thighs. Because, you know, I was so excited about him wanting to see me, and he bought me a dress, and it was like it was a big deal. And you know, okay, and I might be confusing stories, because there was actually two guys. So the one guy that bought me a dress was actually the one that rode his horse there. And he's the one, if you recall, that I went to his house and they were all standing in a huddle smoking what I assume is crack. And I chose not to. I was there with them, but I chose not to do that. Thank God. There was also another guy that was dating me that was sending huge teddy bears, like practically teddy bears my size, to my house, and coming to the bar to court me. And he was very well off, and he would send me little cards, and he took me out. I think he took me out once or twice, and we went for drinks at a very nice place. And he was also very into some weird heavy drugs, and he actually disclosed that early on, and that's when I decided that I didn't want to see him, and so I didn't really pursue it anymore. And then he came around to tell me that he didn't appreciate me not telling him thank you for something, and so he kind of dumped me, I guess, although I was kind of distant at that point anyway, so I'm not sure, but I made a conscious decision to kind of distance myself from him. So it's like I was conflicted. You know, I wanted somebody to like me so much that I was making bad decisions, but I also steered clear of worse decisions somehow. So it was kind of one of those times. My dog being put to sleep was hard. Dad going through all of that was worse. Witnessing Mom and Teddy was even worse than that, if you can imagine. I remember laying out in the lawn and suntanning until I would blister practically because, I don't know, it was just kind of a way to get away, to distance, to forget, you know? And so that's kind of how my life was at that point. It was very... it was very strange. You know, after I left the apartment, so I moved in with girlfriends and then I came back and then I left again and went back and forth. But when I left the first time, when I left that apartment the first time, I moved in with girlfriends and we were doing all that acid and the guy offered to pay my bills. I'm referencing a previous podcast, a previous episode, if you haven't noticed. After I left that, I never did acid again. I haven't done acid again. One of my girlfriends that I still talk to every so often that was there says she would love to do it again, at this age even. I can't fathom doing it again ever. I don't know. I can't tell you if it's bad or if it made me feel bad. I don't think it did make me feel bad. I think that I just grew out of it. I don't need it anymore. And I still have moments where I'm depressed and feel horrible. And I've put dogs to sleep since then. And Dad has passed since then. You know, not only just being sick, but actually passed. And the only thing I can say is that it's different now because even though I still think I'm trying to figure out who I am, I think I pretty much know who I am. I'm pretty comfortable in my skin. So maybe that's the difference. Maybe I don't need that escape anymore. Maybe I don't need those excuses anymore. I don't know. It's kind of funny how life works out, I suppose. So anyway, I just wanted to bring this up. I suppose I wanted to bring this up because it was a time that I started thinking about Teddy. And over the holidays, I start feeling pretty guilty about Teddy because there were other times, you know, he was, is, I'm not even sure if he's still alive, very mentally handicapped. And you know, I mean, he was good and he could have probably been better, but he got stuck with my mom and my dad and they treated him how he was treated. But I played a part in that too. I think when I was young, I was very lenient and I tried to be very understanding. But I remember one time, and it was the holidays, and so that's why I was thinking of it over the holidays. It was the holidays, and Mom and Dad were living in Idaho City, and I had small kids. My kids were small, and I was living down here in our first house. And Mom and Dad came down for the holidays and had Teddy with them and left him out in the truck and came in for dinner, and I knew he was out there, and I don't remember if he came in for a while, but my daughter was really freaked out. She was so little, and she hadn't been around him, and so she was scared because of his mannerisms and, you know, how he breathed and probably how he smelled, and so I asked Mom and Dad if he could sit in the truck. And so that holiday, he actually sat in the truck because I guess I was too ignorant to be able to explain it to my daughter, to understand that I was having a mentally handicapped guy sit in the truck during the holidays while his family, or all that he knew of a family, was sitting inside celebrating. It's not like mom and dad would have done much different. They would have set him in a corner somewhere and yelled at him every time they walked past him. But my behavior was horrible. And I just feel guilty when I think about that. And that's what I was thinking about this holiday. Was if I could have just done little things differently. Just one little thing like that. Of course, I don't think I would have turned out much different because I was grown. I already had small kids. And I suppose we learn through all of those experiences, but that's just one of those things that I'm ashamed of, and it all kind of culminated into all the memories that I've thrown into this sporadic episode. So I apologize for the craziness of my, I don't know, ramblings, I guess, probably best said, but thanks for listening. I promise I'll be more focused last time. These are still, I don't know, you just, during COVID and all of the presidency crap and everything, I think I'm just more emotional than I would be otherwise. And so the holidays help bring that out. They, you know, exasperate it. And so this is what you get. One rambling episode every so often. So I apologize. Thanks for listening, though. We'll see what comes of this thought. Me venting it. Maybe I'll feel better. I don't know. Anyway, thanks again. Bye-bye.